Would you turn back to Mark 11 and let's read verse 27 down through the end of the chapter. I've entitled this message, From Heaven or of Men? Verse 27, and they come again to Jerusalem, speaking of the Lord. The day before he had been in the temple and cast the money changers out. And this is the next day he comes in the temple once again. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and saying to him, By what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question. And answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he'll say, Why then did you not believe him? And if we shall say of men, they fear the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. From heaven or of men? Now I want to say this carefully, but just the thought of this is, don't get me wrong, I want to preach until I die, but this stuff is so scary when I think about it. It makes me wish I wouldn't preach it. Maybe you were. The asking this question and talking about myself, this message I'm preaching, it's either from heaven or it's of men. Now that is a scary proposition to me. I don't want to be bringing a message from my own brain and my own heart. And you know, we would be wise to ask that question regarding everything we hear. It's one or the other. From heaven or of men. The message I bring tonight, it's either from heaven, that means the Lord's in it, or it's of men. Something concocted in my own depraved brain. If it's from heaven, we better listen. If it's of men, we better run. Now remember, this is just a few days. This is in the last week of our Lord's life, and this is just a couple of days before the crucifixion. He has come into Jerusalem and received these hosannas, which are only for the Messiah. Now, if somebody said Hosanna to me or you, we would be terribly wrong if we didn't say, you're talking about the wrong person. But when they said Hosanna to the Lord Jesus Christ, he received that praise. He had gone into the temple and overthrown the money changers and drove out the people who were selling doves. Said, take these things hence. You made my father's house a house of merchandise. He went into the temple and did these things. Now the next day, Wednesday, 2 days before he would be nailed to a cross, he again comes to the temple. He had been sleeping in Bethany that night, I suppose, at Martha and Mary and Lazarus' house. Verse 27, and they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, Matthew says he was teaching, and Luke says he was preaching the gospel at this time. As he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and saying to him, "By what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? How could you accept praise that is for the Messiah only? What makes you think you have the right to come into the temple and start overthrowing the tables and running people out? Who gave you this authority?" They obviously didn't know who they were speaking to, did they? There are three things that can be said about these religious leaders. Number one, they were spiritually ignorant. They didn't know who he was. That's the worst kind of ignorance. Number two, they were spiritually arrogant. That always goes along with spiritual ignorance. And number three, they demonstrate such spiritual dishonesty in their answer. They were afraid to tell what they really believed. And so they actually told a lie when they said, "We don't know." They had their opinion, but they were afraid to say it because of what it would cost them. And they actually told a lie. They demonstrated their spiritual dishonesty. Look in verse 31. Well, verse 29. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I'll also ask of you one question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John." Now remember when John was out in the wilderness baptizing? You can read about it at the first of all the Gospels, and this was before the public appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was John who announced, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This was before his first public appearance. He says, "That baptism of John, was it from heaven or men?" Now you answer me. And they reason with themselves, saying, "Well, if we'll say from heaven, he'll say, why didn't you believe him?" Good question. "And if we say of men, well, we'll end up getting stoned. Everybody thinks he's a prophet. We don't want to go against the popular approval of the people." So they answered and said unto Jesus, "We can't tell." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." Now, I love the Lord's reply when he says, "I'm not telling you by what authority." You know, he has such inherent authority, he didn't have to say anything to them. "I don't owe you an answer for anything. My authority is such that I sure don't look to you guys in any way, in any respect. And I have no need to answer your question with regard to my authority." I couldn't help but think it was similar to, you could have said to them what Paul said in Romans chapter 9, where he said, "Nay, but O man, who are you to reply against God?" How do you think you have the right to reply against God? Now, this was a cleverly crafted question. Who gave you this authority? And they thought they could get him in trouble. I always am amazed at them trying to catch the Lord in his words, trying to entrap him. He's omniscient. What a fool's errand to try to entrap him in his words, but here they are doing it. Now, let's consider what the Bible has to say about the authority of Christ. Now, in Christ's first message, the Sermon on the Mount, let's look at the conclusion. Matthew chapter 7. This is the people's conclusion to this message that they heard. Never been a greater message preached. Verse 28. It began in chapter 5, verse 1. And here's the conclusion as the people listened to what he said. "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority." Now, this does not mean that he projected authority in his voice. I've seen preachers do that. They try to project authority to make it sound authoritative. You know, the Lord had no need to do that. This is not talking about a big booming voice. The things that he said recommended themselves as being the very word of God, having the authority of God behind them. Now, I want you to think about the Sermon on the Mount. This young, uneducated carpenter, that's all they knew him to be. This young, uneducated, 30-year-old carpenter comes up to them and tells them who is blessed. He knew. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then he said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for my sake. For my sake. Now you think about a statement like that. Blessed are they that are persecuted for my sake. And how many times throughout this sermon do you hear him say, you've heard it been said by them of old time, but I say unto you. And he was quoting Scripture. He gives to himself the only one who is able to interpret Scripture. Here's what it means. This is what I say. You've heard it said. This is what I say. 7-8 times. What about when he told, after this manner pray ye? That is amazing in itself. Here's what you need to pray. What if I told you that? You think, well, how would you know? But the Lord could say, after this manner, pray ye. And look at the things he said about himself with regard to judgment. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? In your name have we not cast out demons? In your name have we not done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. What authority he demonstrates his very first message. Is it any wonder they were astonished at his doctrine because of the authority of it? He spake as one having authority. And I love the next slam on the scribes, not like the scribes. I mean, everything they said, it had man from men written all over it, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said to his disciples, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. He has a complete monopoly on authority. And that's why the very idea of free will is so ludicrous. It's so ridiculous. If I have a free will, that means I've trumped his authority. That means I have authority over him, my will over his. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Oh, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would have loved to hear him say, when Pilate said, don't you know that I have power to release you? And I have power to crucify you? He said, thou couldst have no power at all over me. You know, I can't help but love it. I love it when he says that. And he had kept his mouth closed against all these accusations. All these accusations. You don't speak for yourself. You defend yourself. He says, a lamb before the opened not his mouth. He was guilty, but he didn't keep his mouth closed toward that. You could have no power at all over me, except it were given thee from above. It was he who said to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power, my authority on thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he pardons. You see, there's no such thing. I never will forget I brought this up several times over the last couple of years. I remember hearing it on the radio. A guy said the five most powerful men in the world. I thought, no man has any power at all. He has all power. And any power anybody has is delegated by him to perform his will and do his will. You know, I would have liked to have said to Pilate, him to have said to Pilate, well, he said what needed to be said. I shouldn't say that like I wanted. But he's a pawn. You're a pawn in my hand, doing my will. And that's exactly what he is. That is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you think of the authority he demonstrates just in salvation. When that leper came to him, and think of what he said. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Me being made clean is totally, completely in your hands. It's up to you, your sovereign will. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy departed. He had complete power over life and death. The Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive. Even with regard to his own death, he said, no man takes my life from me. I'm not a victim. I'm not being murdered. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. He had power over the demonic world, Satan and all of his demons. They trembled at his presence, knowing he's the Holy One of God. Why, they couldn't even go from one geographical place to another without his permission. Suffer us to go into the herd of swine. And Jesus gave them leave. In John chapter 17, verse 2, the Lord said, thou hast given him power over all flesh. Don't you love thinking about that? Every human being alive, whether they're believers or unbelievers, the Lord's given him power and authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Father gave him authority to execute judgment. The Father gave him authority to quicken whom he will. As the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. What authority he demonstrated to the thief when he said, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man hath power, hath authority on earth to forgive sins. Nobody else does. As to whether or not me and you are forgiven, it's totally up to him. He has authority to forgive you of all your sins. I think of what he said to that woman, taken in adultery, in the very act. There was no doubt about her guilt. And yet he could say to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Now that's authority. I think of the publican in the temple. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He said, I tell you, I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified. Without guilt, without sin. Now that's authority, isn't it? If he says you're justified, you know what? You're justified. You know, when he rebuked the wind and the sea, peace be still, they obeyed their master. And there was a great calm. Who gave you this authority? They were speaking to him who has this in this authority inherently as equal to the Father. Listen to this scripture. God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by a Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, once again, these men asking him this question demonstrate their utter spiritual ignorance and their utter spiritual arrogance, speaking to the Son of God like this. Now, let's look at the way the Lord handled this in Mark chapter 11. By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask of you one question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. Now, you know what that is? The baptism of John. Look back at Mark chapter 1. What was the baptism of John? Verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness. Remember all the multitudes going out to be baptized of him? John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for or concerning the remission of sins. Now, what's that mean? You know, a lot of people have the idea that when you went out to hear John the Baptist preach, what you'd do is you'd repent of your sins, you'd confess them before everybody, and then you would be baptized. Now, what does... Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want to sin. We ought not ever sin again. And there's no excuse for sin under any circumstance. Amen? It's true. It's true. Does this mean what you need to do is be sorry for your sin? Stop committing that sin. Don't return to that sin. And then you are a candidate for baptism. Now, that's what most people view that, this baptism of John. Is that what it is? The answer is no. That is not what John's baptism was. Now, John's baptism was a baptism, a repentance concerning the remission of sins. Now, here's what that means. It doesn't mean you need to repent of your sins before you can be baptized. As far as that goes, the term repent of your sins is not found in the Scripture. Did you know that? It's not found in the Scripture. Preachers use it all the time, but it's not found in the Scripture. Well, what's he talking about? A complete change of mind. That's what repentance means. Change your mind. Change your mind. A complete change of mind regarding the forgiveness and the remission of sins. Now, here's what everybody naturally believes. This is what I was born believing. This is what you were born believing. There's something you need to do in order for your sins to be forgiven. And until you do it, your sins will not be forgiven. You need to repent. You need to stop sinning. You need to start believing. There's something you need to do before your sins can be forgiven. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. If you have to do something before your sins can be forgiven, and if you don't do that, and if you don't stop doing that, fill in the blank, whatever it might be, you won't be forgiven. Now that's what's called salvation by works. That's all it is. Salvation by works. You might as well tell somebody you need to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. No difference. If there's something that I need to do before God can do anything for me, that is salvation by works. Now, John's baptism, his repentance concerning the remission of sins, is he understood, and so does everybody that's forgiven, salvation does not end in the forgiveness of sins. It begins. It begins with your sins being completely forgiven. Utterly and entirely forgiven. You did not do something in order for them to be forgiven. You begin your spiritual life with all your sins already forgiven. Now, is that from heaven or of men? What I just said, is that from heaven? Is that the truth of God? Or is it some weird man-made doctrine? Which is it? Is it from heaven or of men? Now, if it is of men, I don't have any hope of being saved. But if it's from heaven, I'm preaching the gospel to you. I'm bringing a message from heaven. Now, which is it? Is it from heaven or of men? Will the Scripture support this? Will the Scripture bear this out? What I've said, that salvation begins with the forgiveness of sins. It doesn't end with the forgiveness of sins. After you do this, this, and this before you can have your sins forgiven, it begins with the full, complete forgiveness of all your sins. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The question, is the forgiveness of sins included in those spiritual blessings? What about 2 Timothy 1:9? He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Is the forgiveness of sins included in that? You can be sure it is. When the Lord said, "Father, forgive them," did He say, "Well, they need to ask first"? No. Everybody He prayed for was forgiven. You see, the Lord doesn't have any unanswered prayers. If He says, "Father, forgive them," everybody He prayed for was forgiven. I've already quoted this scripture, Hebrews 1:3, when He by Himself. I love the "by Himself" part, because that means I don't have anything to do with this. Nothing. When He had by Himself purged our sins. Is forgiveness included in that? Well, of course it is. Back to the Lord's question, from heaven or of men? Mark 11. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Verse 31. They reasoned with themselves, saying, we put ourselves in a bind. We put ourselves in a real bind. You see, if we say from heaven, He's always going, why didn't you believe Him? And if we say of men, we'll get stoned. You see, they knew nothing of the spirit of faith that Paul quoted David in saying, "I believe, therefore have I spoken." They knew nothing of that. They're going to hide what they believe in order to save their own skin. And so they answer, we can't tell. We don't know. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. You see, his authority is so absolute that he has no need to answer them. He giveth no account of his matters. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Somebody says, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. Oh, you're able to judge God. Congratulations. You can stand in front of judgment. But you're in the wrong place, my friend. Whatever God does is right. Whatever God does is fair. And he doesn't do it because it's right. He doesn't do it because it's fair. It's right because he does it. That's the only thing that's true. Who gave him this authority? The Father did, as his equal. And mine and your opinion doesn't even count. As the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. The Father gave it to him, and he has it inherently as equal to the Father, God the Son. Well, what do we do with this? Two things. He said, all authority is given to me. He has all authority. And you know what that tells me? I need to go to the one who has the authority to do something for me. He's got the authority to do it. It won't do me any good to talk to some preacher or talk to you. I go to him who has the power and authority to do something for me. God, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And you know what? He was merciful to him. He said, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He's the one to go to. He's the only one who can do anything for you. And secondly, the Lord said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go and teach every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. The point is, we come in his name. We don't come in our own name. I'm not preaching in my own authority. I'm preaching what he said. And that's our message. It's not a... I love what Paul said. He said, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. It's not derived from any human source. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our authority, this what I've just said, you know, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? I can answer that question. It's from heaven. It's from heaven. And that is the authority that we preach with, that we witness with. This is his word. We're not coming in our own name. We're coming in the name of him who has all power and all authority. Now, in his name, everybody in this room is commanded to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to figure out whether or not you're one of the elect. You don't need to figure out whether he died for you. You don't need to figure out if you're born again. You are commanded to believe, to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ as all there is to make you just before God. There's divine authority in that command. May God enable us all to believe. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the authority of thy dear Son. And Lord, we all take our place with the lepers, worshiping him and falling at his feet, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make us clean. Oh, that we might hear those words, I will be thou clean. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Drew, come lead us in closing hymn, please.